words. And then I'm going to read just two passages, and then we're going to be finished. The God we serve is a great God. How do we know that? Job 36, 26. Behold, God is great, and we do not know Him. The theme of this section is that God is great and that His ways are beyond our understanding. He is omnipotent. He is eternal. He is all-wise. We human beings divide knowledge into categories and theories, but God, who spreads the clouds out like a blanket, holds lightning bolts in His hands, He shatters our categories and He confounds our theories. What is there about God that is great? First of all, the mind of God is great. Job 36, 5. Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in the strength of understanding. Job 36, 22. Who teaches God? Job 37, 16. He is perfect in knowledge. The Lord is great in understanding. His knowledge is infallible. Therefore, anything that deviates from what He says is false. We should never start with our thoughts, our opinions, our feelings. We must always start with the mind of God. I've been reminding the congregations that if you're in a small group, here's a good piece of counsel. Just remember, if you're in a small group, that your discussion can be very, very varied, but it must always start with God. Do you know what happens in a lot of small groups around the country? They get in their discussion time, and they go around the circle, and they talk about what they think something means. And when they get all done, you know what it is? It is a pooling of ignorance. That's what it is. Just a collection of everything. Now, if you go to a small group, and the only thing you take away from that small group every week is, oh, everybody else in my group is as ignorant as I am. That's not a good thing. You start with what God has said and then discuss what God has said and how it applies to your life. If you don't do that, you're not in a good small group. The Bible says the mind of God is great. Start with the great mind of God and go somewhere with it. Not only that, but the mercy of God is great. Job 36, 6. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed. Job 36, 15. He delivers the poor in their affliction and opens their ears in oppression. Have you ever had the Lord use oppression to get your attention and open your ear? That's what He does sometimes. He brings things into our lives so that we'll start listening to Him. We get pretty hard-headed sometimes, and God has to get our attention. The mind of God is great. The mercy of God is great. Notice thirdly, the might of God is great. Chapter 36, verse 5, behold, God is mighty. Chapter 37, verse 5, He does great things which we cannot comprehend. Now, here's what I want to do. We could cover the rest of this, but I'm going to read this to you, but not from the King James or the New King James. I'm going to read you Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of these next verses, because in chapter 36 and chapter 37, there is what we might call a little hymn, and it reads so good in the paraphrase, it'll help you get a sense of it, and I'm going to read it out loud. Here is Elihu's message to Job about God's greatness, about His mighty power. Listen. Do you have any idea how powerful God is? Have you ever heard of a teacher like Him? Has anyone ever had to tell Him what to do or correct Him, saying, you sure did that all wrong? Remember then to praise His workmanship, which is so often celebrated in song. Everybody sees it. Nobody's too far away to see it. Take a long look, Job. See how infinite and great He is, greater than anything you could ever imagine or figure out. He pulls water up out of the sea, distills it, and fills up His rain cloud cisterns, and the skies open up and pour out soaking showers on everyone. Does anyone have the slightest idea how this happens? How He arranges the clouds, how He speaks in the thunder. Just look at that lightning, His sky-filling light show illumining the dark depths of the sea. These are the symbols of His sovereignty, His generosity, and His loving care. He hurls arrows of light, taking sure and accurate aim. The high God roars in the thunder, angry against evil. Now, I must tell you, if you live on the West Coast, you miss a little of this, because if you grew up in the Midwest, you know what these thunder light shows are about. You can be outdoors in a picnic, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the clouds cloud up, and the rain starts to fall, and the lightning fills the sky, and the thunder rumbles, and you get a good impression of the power of God in nature. Does anybody understand how that happens? Oh, I know the scientists have got all their ideas, but behind all of the explanation is the God who's being explained. And that's what Elihu was saying. The God we serve is great. His mind is great. His mercy is great. His might is great. And finally, His majesty is great. Notice, verse 4, chapter 37. He thunders with His majestic voice. Verse 22, with God is awesome majesty. Now here is the little poem from chapter 37. Once again, I'm going to read it from the message. I'm going to read it as if I think it should have been read this way. Job, are you listening? Have you noticed all this? Stop in your tracks. Take in God's miracle wonders. Do you have any idea how God does it all? How He makes bright lightning from dark storms? How He piles up the cumulus clouds, all these miracle wonders of the perfect mind? Why, you don't even know how to keep cool on a sweltering hot day. So how could you even dream of making a dent in that hot tin roof sky? If you're so smart, Job, give us a lesson on how to address God. We're in the dark and we can't figure it out. Do you think I'm dumb enough to challenge God? Wouldn't that be just asking for trouble? No one in his right mind stares straight at the sun on a clear and cloudless day. As gold comes from the northern mountains, so a terrible beauty streams from God. Now read with me the rest of it, beginning with Mighty God. Read it out loud. Mighty God, far beyond our reach, unsurpassable in power and justice, it's unthinkable that He'd treat anyone unfairly. So bow to Him, especially at these times, to remember how great is our God. You know, there's a great story in the Old Testament that happened in Kadesh Barnea when the spies were sent into the land. And, you know, the majority report came back and they said, man, we've looked at all these giants in here and we're like grasshoppers before them. We can't do this. But there were two dudes named Joshua and Caleb who came out of there and they said, we are well able to do this. Our God will help us. And the difference, let me just tell you what the difference was. The majority report came out of Canaan and they saw their problems in relationship to themselves and the other giants. Joshua and Caleb came out and they saw the giants in comparison to God. So how do you get to where Joshua and Caleb were? You have to have a big God. You have to see God high and lifted up. You have to elevate God. He doesn't need to be improved upon. We just need to improve our ability to comprehend Him. And when we see God in His holy, high, and lifted up, we look at our problems. And we say, God, one day You spoke and the whole world came into being. I know my problem is really big to me right now, but it's not nothing for You. So I want to ask You, God, to help me with my problem. And I know You are able to do it. That's what we need to come. We need to come with confidence that the God we serve is not, He's not taken by surprise by all the stuff we're going through. God is not affected by the recession. And He wants so desperately to have a relationship with you so that He can not only be your Savior and your God, but He can be your friend and your guide. My friend, I would not want to be alive on planet Earth today and not have a relationship with the great God of the universe. I am insufficient for these things, but I have a God who is able. And He is willing to come into your life, whoever you may be or wherever you may be, and make a difference that only God can make. So I worship Him today, and I honor Him today.
Amen. Amen. We have a big God, a loving, caring, awesome God. The tenacity of God to stay with us and help us during those times. Well, as I mentioned to you at the beginning of today's broadcast, we have still two more days to finish up the book of Job, and we will do that tomorrow and Friday, and we hope you'll stay with us until we get clear to the end. But this is the very last day that we can make available our special resource for the month of August, which is the book, God's Promises for When You're Hurting. I encourage you to sit down today. Make a good gift to Turning Point. Be as generous as you can. So helpful in the summertime. We're coming to the end of that time, but your generosity is so meaningful to us, and we're so grateful for your investment in what we're doing around the world. And we want to say thank you for your gift today only with this beautiful book, God's Promises for When You're Hurting. Be sure and ask for your copy when you send your gift today. And we'll see you in September. That's tomorrow, friends. Thanks for listening.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's current series in Job, Tried, Tested, and Triumphant, visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio, where we offer two free ways to stay connected to Turning Point, with a copy of our monthly magazine, Turning Points, and with our daily email devotional. Sign up today when you log on to our Turning Point website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. Be sure to ask for the comforting book, God's Promises for When You're Hurting. Do us for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible with thousands of notes and articles from over 40 years of study by Dr. Jeremiah. Available in standard or large print, ask about it when you contact us today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Try.